Today, you may have heard, marks 125 years since New Zealand women won the right to vote. Kiwi women have made great strides since that day in 1893. Women have filled the roles of Governor-General and Prime Minister and Chief Justice and more, but have all women been able to share equally in those advances? Trick question. We're joined now by Gabriel Brett Kelly from the Public Service Association, Sina Wendt of Leadership New Zealand, and Janelle Murphy, who's the great-granddaughter of landmark Māori rights activist Dame Fina Cooper. And she's also a corrections officer. Kia ora, good morning to you all.
Kia ora, Kam.
Hello,
I feel like you will either be glass half full or glass half empty people. In other words, do you look back and think, gosh, how far we've come? Or do you look at us now and think, gosh, how far we've got to go? Gabriel.
Well, I've just come from the suffrage sunrise celebration, and I was just wondering what Kate Sheppard would have said if she'd been there. And I think what she might have said was, 125 years and you haven't got equal pay yet. So I think I would have said to her, we're nearly there, Kate. We've got it all set up. It's coming. It'll be there just in a few more years.
Do you think she thought about equal pay? I don't know
absolutely.
Enough about it. Did she?
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of her four main tenets.
Sina, what did you think?
So when I think about, you know, the last 125 years and now, the question I ask is, we've made great strides, but I'm still, I guess my concern, I'm normally a glass half full, but with women's rights, I'm probably a bit half empty today, because I look and say, where are all the women at the table? So we've made great strides kind of generally, but if we think about the diversity in our country and our society, we don't see those women sitting at the table, and that for me needs to be, I think, a big priority. Should be, you know,
which table are you looking at, Sina? Because you know, the top tables of government are full of women, it seems.
No, I'm not sure about that. I mean, certainly
we've lost somebody. I'm not sure who that was. Are you still there, Gabriel?
Yes.
Are you still there, Janelle? No, Sina, are you still there? Well, we seem to have lost everybody, so Gabriel can pick it up. Sometimes I think, Gabriel, we're living in two parallel universes. We have, yes, the Prime Minister and the Governor-General and the Attorney-General and the Chief Justice and all that, but at the same time we have very high rates of domestic violence and unequal pay.
There just seems
to be two radically different things going on. How do you make sense of that?
Yes, well, from a point of view of our union members, and Māori and Pacific women are getting a triple whammy. One, their workers, two, their women, and three, their Māori and Pacific. And they've got they're having to pay huge discounts off their wages. So they're really missing out, and their whānau are missing out as well. But I think what we've got in terms of Jacinda is the Prime Minister has really championed equal pay, and she is really saying to employers, you've got to walk the talk. So for the past 10 years, we've kind of plateaued out in terms of equal pay, and there's been a lot of talk of diversity, but it's all been talk. Now we want to see them walking, and the Ministry of Justice staff today are having a strike starting at 10:30, and it's the first equal pay strike. And those women, and a lot of our members are Māori and Pacific women at Ministry of Justice. They work in admin. They're key people that keep the show on the road, and they're getting really pathetic wages. And the Ministry of Justice has got a 15% gender pay gap, and they're not doing anything about it.
It's the first equal pay strike, you say?
Yeah.
That's interesting in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, come along, 10:30.
Janelle Murphy. Talking about great strides, as the great-granddaughter of Dame Fina Cooper, who strode out herself, what do you think? What would your great-grandmother be saying about where we are now?
Well, I definitely think that she would be proud looking down at her mokopuna at what we've all achieved. The fact that we're able to celebrate our success stories, especially on platforms like social media. A lot of Māori women these days, they are definitely going through a lot of struggles, but they're striving through it. They've got a really fighter spirit. And so I think she would be really proud of where we're at the moment.
Social media is such a double-edged sword, though, isn't it? I mean, it's empowering on the one hand. On the other hand, it opens women up to this huge sewage pit of misogyny that seems to be bursting out. I'm wondering whether there's an overlayer of correctness, but underneath there's a lot of stuff that's gone underground. What do you think about that, Sina?
So, I mean, when I look at the domestic violence stats and the abuse of women, and particularly with young women, social media is both a platform for expression and diversity of expression, but at the same time, as you just said, it becomes a place where actually kind of that, really, that kind of abuse and against women becomes very vocal and very visual. So in some ways, it's probably a good thing as we see it. It's just, how do we stop it? And, you know, as a country that has one of the highest rates of domestic violence and particularly gender-based violence against women here, you know, I think that's one of the critical issues that actually impacts women's lives so negatively. You know, last night we were at Women of Influence Awards, and it was just amazing to see Jackie Clark, who runs the Aunties, get the Supreme Award. But I'm just so concerned that women are still having to deal with physical, emotional abuse on a daily level, and how can they be expected to thrive and be successful in our society when that's happening?
You've both raised the pay inequity, and I think that there's still a misunderstanding about what the gender pay gap really means. Would you like to explain it, I wonder, in terms of it indicating something beyond the way that women can work part-time, because it's mostly driven by what the research calls unexplained factors, correct, Gabriel?
Well, I'm not quite so sure about the unexplained factor of that work, the research work. What we think is one of the biggest drivers of the difference that men get in pay and women get in pay is jobs that are done mainly by women are undervalued and underpaid. It's as simple as that. So social workers, care and support, admin work, library work, the men who work alongside those women, and they're very much a minority, they get paid rubbish wages as well. So that is a huge part of what's driving it. But also, even in...
But hang on a minute. Wouldn't the men say, if the men working alongside the women get rubbish pay as well, then what's the gap?
Oh, well, yes, so this is what the Christine Bartlett case is all about. This is the Terra Nova case. Mm-hmm. So Christine worked in an aged residential care, and she took her case to court, and what the court said was, if it was predominantly women doing her work, if it was predominantly men doing her work, she would be paid basically about $12 extra an hour. And that was what the care and support settlement was last year. And those women members of the unions involved are getting up to $12 an hour pay increase starting last year, and they had another pay increase this year. It's going on over 5 years. And it's work that it's money that they have deserved for decades that they've been shortchanged on.
Sina, you wanted to say?
Yeah, so for me, unexplained factors, I think, really is a kind of a mask for what is ultimately discrimination that's built into the system. So racism and sexism. I mean, Māori and Pacific women are right at the bottom in terms of differentials in pay. And that's about bias. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of words you can call it, but the reality is our women are being discriminated against because they are from a minority. Yes, they work in a lot of the lower-level jobs, but they're still getting paid less. And I think organisations really need to, well, there are some organisations that are stepping up and looking at pay scales in their organisations and doing an investigation to make sure they can close the gap. We need more organisations prepared to do that, to make sure that in their organisations there is equal pay and they know exactly what they're paying women, and it's fair and it's transparent.
Have you had experience with this issue, Janelle?
Well, in the industry that I work in, I actually get paid the same as my other male colleagues, but No, I haven't really come across it.
I was going to ask you that because that's, you know, that's a pretty tough industry you're in.
But corrections have a really low gender pay rate because they've got some really good leadership there. Mm. And they've
you
got
mean
a really
a low
good pay system.
Gender pay gap?
Yeah,
small
sorry.
Gender pay gap.
Yes, they've got a small gender pay gap.
Gotcha. Ha. The emotion and excitement of the day has got to you.
Yes.
Ha. So, I don't know, have you all got children?
Yes.
Yes.
And
grandchildren.
And grandchildren. Do you have a kind of wish for them that you haven't been able to enjoy in your own lives, Gabriel?
Gosh, that's...
I mean, pay equity, yes, all right.
Mm.
Not to dismiss it, but anything else?
Well, I kind of wish they don't have to keep fighting, that they don't come up against discrimination at every turn.
Depends whether you think that it's kind of hardwired. I mean, if it's hardwired, then the fight will never be over.
No, I don't believe it is, because I think some of the things that Kate Sheppard was fighting for have been won. So, like, women being able to own property, women having equal rights in marriage and divorce, those sorts of issues. Mm. We've won those issues. And, you know, we can win these ones as well.
Sina?
I would wish for, I have a daughter and a son, and they're both feminists, and I would wish for them that they'd be able to walk really proudly in the world, be able to have choice and freedom to choose what they want to do, and particularly my daughter, and that she can stand in her power wherever she goes and feel really confident that she can do whatever she decides she wants to do and be in relationships with all sorts of people that are of equal, you know, based on equal sharing and power.
It's interesting, isn't it? We wish for our children and our daughters and our granddaughters to be able to do what they want to do. But that isn't quite the issue, is it? Because in the past, women may well have been doing what they want to do, but they weren't aware of what they could do in order to want to do. Do you know what I mean? Being able to do what you want to do is possibly just a way of behaving in a circumscribed society. You've got to expand your horizons of what you can do in order to know what you want to do.
But I
still think that a lot of young women, they have more freedom and choice, but I do think that in some communities they're still very constrained by what the society or that particular community thinks they should do.
But it's difficult to sort that out, isn't it, between what society wants you to do and what you want to do. And I'm guessing that you want your daughters and granddaughters to know more about what they want rather than what they're told they should want.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm so glad you agree, because maybe you're just giving in because you're too tired of trying to comprehend what I'm trying to say. I appreciate all your presences. Thank you. Gabriel Brett Kelly and Sina Wendt and Janelle Murphy.